Hi, my name's Tyler O'Neill, and this is my wife, Jenny. And next month, we will have been married for 18 years. And that's our family. That's our son, Colby. He'll be a freshman at Richardson High School next year. And our daughter, Avery, will be a seventh grader at Westwood Junior High. And I'm going to pray real quick. I hope that's okay with everybody. Lord, please help Jenny and I not to be nervous tonight, Lord, as we share about our struggles and weaknesses, Lord. I pray that it would encourage others who may be able to relate. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for sending your son to die for us and for sending us instructions on how to live and how to love the spouse that you blessed us with, Lord. Please use our story for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I grew up in Tulsa as the oldest of four brothers, and my childhood was filled with innocence, sports, and fun. My parents, who remain married to this day, taught me the gospel, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior at a young age. Growing up, I was extremely involved in church and adhered to a long list of rules that I followed almost all the time. A good example of a rule I never broke in high school was I never saw a movie in a theater. An example of a rule that I sometimes broke in high school was I would occasionally listen to some country music or some rock and roll when I drove in the car. So I was a real wild man. I went to college at a school that's known for rules. It's called Bob Jones University. And while I was there, I let my day-to-day relationship with Jesus just shrivel up. Instead of spending time in his word, I became entangled in following rules.
I grew up in Southeast Texas in a broken family. My parents divorced when I was six, and for reasons I still don't fully understand, my mother chose to abandon her role in our lives. Luckily, my dad embraced being a single father. He made an effort to keep the atmosphere in our home positive and light, which meant the heavy issues didn't get talked about openly. I thought that was normal. In high school, I accepted Christ as my Savior and was baptized, but for 10 years after that, I remained spiritually immature and vulnerable to life's troubles. Doubt crept in, and my faith withered. During that time, I struggled with an eating disorder, often drank too much, had inappropriate relationships with guys because I wanted to be wanted, and never went to church. Despite those issues, I was generally content. I was generally content. I didn't like to dwell on the bad stuff. It seemed much better to keep a positive attitude and put on a happy face. I made it through college, then grad school, and began working in Houston as a systems consultant where I met Tyler.
Following undergrad, I went to Baylor to get an MBA, and that was really my first taste of what I viewed as freedom from rules, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I attended church sporadically, never connected with other believers, and rarely pursued my relationship with Jesus. I did, however, aggressively pursue what many would consider a more normal college experience. At the age of 22, I began to drink and later use smokeless tobacco, but I stuck to the rules of no sex before marriage and no drugs. And I did well at Baylor and landed a good job in management consulting down in Houston after I graduated. In Houston, I continued to attend church sporadically, but foolishly refused to get truly connected in any meaningful way with other believers. And after a while, I began to have inappropriate relationships with girls. And it was during this time that I met Jenny. And Jenny and I enjoyed hanging out, and after a while, we moved past any physical boundaries in our relationship, which I knew was a clear violation of Hebrews 13:4, which reads, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous.
Being with Tyler was really fun. There always seemed to be something he wanted to do, and he included me as much as possible. We played golf, attended quite a lot of sporting events, and generally enjoyed hanging out together. He made me feel special in a million big and small ways, like opening my door every time we got in his car, and even doing my taxes for me. On one of our dates, he asked me if I believed in God, and I replied, "I'm not sure." When he said that he might not be able to keep dating me, I realized that he was pretty serious about his belief in Christ. Instead of breaking up, we began attending church together. The Lord used that time to remind me of his love and faithfulness. I rededicated my life to Christ and finally began growing in my faith. Tyler and I continued to date and eventually got engaged.
And then we got married, and that's us. My kids never believe that's me because I have hair. And they're just like, what's going on? Anyway, we got married after a four-month engagement, and I brought a lot of baggage into our relationship. Things like poor communication patterns, unresolved bitterness and anger, and a rotten thought life. And over time, the effects of my anger and inability to communicate in healthy ways left Jenny in retreat, and that's been for a significant percentage of the time that we've been married. My behavior really chipped away at our intimacy, both emotionally and physically, and in turn left us isolated within not only our marriage, but many times even inside our house.
While our marriage started out okay, it wasn't long before we started having occasional conflict, and I was no match for Tyler. A small matter could quickly become huge and heated. This frightened me, and I didn't know how to handle it. In an effort to shorten the conflict and heartache involved, I just shut down. I might leave the room, stop talking, or agree with Tyler just to make it stop. I thought he really meant what he said in the heat of an argument and didn't see any point in reliving that painful discussion once it ended. Later, he would treat me as if everything was okay again, but I was still hurt and viewed this piece with suspicion. I wondered, how long will it last? How does he really feel about me? The distance between us began to increase, both emotionally and sexually too. Despite that, we remained committed to one another, and God blessed us with two lovely children. And I don't know why I never thought about trying to be a good wife, but I definitely remember wanting to be a good mother. I happily quit my job to stay at home with our kids, and when they reached school age, I started homeschooling them. Motherhood also marked a time of rapid spiritual growth for me. I joined a Bible study where older women encouraged me to love my husband and children and to spend daily time in God's Word. Despite all that wise counsel, I still let fear and anxiety keep me from talking to Tyler about the conflict in our marriage. Our intimacy continued to suffer, and I felt increasingly lonely, isolated, and at times desperately sad.
Because I relied on once-a-week church for my spiritual growth, my relationship with Christ suffered continually, like it got worse. I'd pray when I needed something, but my daily walk with Christ was almost non-existent. I didn't have the time. I wanted my children to accept Christ, and I wanted to be a good husband and dad, but I primarily wanted to spend my time pursuing good times, even if it meant ignoring some of what I viewed as God's rules. At times in our marriage, I've prioritized things like playing and watching sports over serving Jenny and our kids. Temporal hangups like wanting to dip snuff, which I was careful not to do in front of our kids, only increased the isolation. And that isolation sometimes left me using porn to pursue a cheap orgasm alone. On the outside, we look like a happy family. And from my viewpoint, we mostly were. But I was falling way short of what God calls me to be as a husband. I wasn't loving Jenny in a sacrificial way as I'm called to in Ephesians 5:25, which reads, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." We saw a marriage counselor for a little while, and there were times when our marriage resembled God's model. or at least came closer to resembling it, but mostly we were just drifting aimlessly. I was fiercely committed to the concept of remaining married, but most of the time I left Jenny feeling very alone.
I remember a few nights I even prayed that God would either take my life or Tyler's because I didn't think I had the strength to keep going. Three separate times, I very seriously contemplated moving out with the kids. Many summers and holidays, the kids and I went on vacation without Tyler and enjoyed a break from our troubles, but those same issues were always there waiting for me when I returned. I felt trapped. I didn't want to leave, but staying was so painful. I was burdened for our kids because I knew it was scary for them to witness all the harsh words, tears, and dysfunction. I kept asking myself, what was best for them, staying or leaving?
We began visiting Watermark toward the end of 2013, and by the spring of 2014 had joined a community group. I had never been involved in anything quite as uncomfortable as community. At times, I found it encouraging, but also quite unnerving. I was trying to obey a rule because I was being asked to do so. Toward the end of 2014, I lost my job unexpectedly, and then early in 2015, I lost another. What the heck was going on? With perspective, I now see that the Lord was showing me that I needed to adjust my priorities in a major way. As an adult, I had never carved out time to be spent with my Savior. I had him in my back pocket if I needed him, but our relationship was something that stayed at the bottom of my priority list. It was something I would maintain or pursue only when I felt I had the time. And all of a sudden, I had nothing but time.
The best part of my day had been while Tyler was at work, and now we had to be in each other's company all day long. I was miserable. A trusted friend urged me to try re-engage, but I knew he wouldn't go. And sure enough, I asked, and Tyler refused. At this point, I didn't know what else to do, so I decided to go by myself. Two other couples in our community group offered to go with me, and I'm so grateful for their support during that time and thankful that eventually Tyler decided to come too.
Jenny was all in at re-engage. Because she was at a complete loss with me and my shortcomings. She was dreading me being marooned at our house with her until I found a new job. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And that's exactly what I was doing. I didn't want to come to re-engage because I didn't want to deal with my behaviors that had become so comfortable. I didn't want to delve into my sin. I didn't want to make changes that I thought might impact my pursuit of fun. I was buying lies. Deep down, I knew it, but I continued to buy them anyway. I was asking questions like, couldn't I just make some incremental changes in isolation? Couldn't Jenny and I just process our issues alone? I might have gotten away with it if Jenny hadn't been firm and our community group hadn't made me look like a jerk for trying to punch out.
After almost 17 years of struggling through unhealthy conflict, isolation, and a lack of intimacy, I was amazed that in just weeks our marriage began to change. Tyler surprised me by embracing the idea of focusing on himself and his relationship with Christ. Likewise, I began to recognize how my own struggles with anxiety and fear had led me down a path of self-protection and isolation. Instead of seeking to be guided by the Holy Spirit, I had just tried to avoid painful situations, and that played a significant role in the declining health of our marriage. Realizing just how effortlessly I can slip into my sin struggles, and withdraw from conflict or fall prey to anxiety was huge in helping me find compassion for Tyler and his own struggles with anger and escalation.
The Lord began using time and his word, the stories and teaching we heard in large group here at Reengage, and the discussions in open group settings to give us hope. For the first time, I was able to clearly recognize issues with my behavior and began to address them. As we moved into a closed group and I began to take ownership of my sin struggles and humbly make changes, my relationship with the Lord and then Jenny began to improve on an almost constant basis. I sought forgiveness first from God and then from Jenny, and then also my kids as well, and many areas in which I had repetitively failed and wronged them and Jenny. And I strove to be in God's word daily. And that's when real healing began, and that continues today.
Now Tyler and I approach marriage as a team. When he sees me start to withdraw, he makes an effort to understand what I'm feeling and reassure me that I'm loved. He asks me about my anxiety, and when it's high, he encourages me through prayer and kind words. When he escalates, I strive to remain calm and even take a break from the conversation if needed. Then I prepare to forgive him and talk about it when his temper dies down. We both try to focus on ourselves and our personal relationship with Christ. That is key. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." As a result of abiding with Christ, our emotional and physical intimacy have never been better.
Our marriage isn't perfect, but it's better than it's ever been. We are coming up on what has easily and by far been the best year of marriage we've ever experienced. The absolute most fun, the most and best sex, the funniest and that's important. The funniest and sweetest time spent together. We've shared tears of repentance and tears of joy. It has been truly miraculous. And it's all down to God's grace in our lives. He has been so patient and good to us. And he's blessed us so much as we've tried to honor his word and put it into practice in our lives. I'm still looking for a job. I wish that wasn't the case, but our kids would tell you that this year has been the best they've ever experienced. The spiritual transformation in our home has been tangible. Our friends would tell you the same, even friends that are unbelievers. They want to know, like, what is going on with you? And that's given me opportunities to share that I'm now walking with Jesus daily. Because the change in our marriage has just been so evident. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord disciplines him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights." So I'm thankful that the Lord has used painful things in my life to show me that I need him, and to help me strive to fulfill his calling on me as a husband and as a father.
Maybe you're like I was and feel like you can barely keep going. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." As I look back, there's no question in my mind that God was with us through all of our difficult times, and I promise you, he's there for you too. He comforted me with his word. He placed people in my life who spoke truth to me and prayed for me. Sometimes it was just the simple kindness of a stranger or hugs from our kids that reminded me of his goodness. All the while, he patiently waited for us to turn to him and submit to his ways. While you're here at Reengage and waiting and hoping for your marriage to change, I strongly encourage you to ask the Lord what your own sin struggles are and commit to work on them. That's something positive that you can do to help your marriage. Are you listening to his Holy Spirit with a heart that's ready to respond? If you are, great, keep doing it. And if not, start today. You won't regret it.